Well, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Am I on? I don't hear me. Give me a little bit. Number one.
It's up.
All right. Well, you know what? I'll just switch over. You hear me in a speaker? Okay, so here we go. I told you, see, devil don't like nothing when we stand against him. So what we told him was that he was a liar, that he wasn't going to stop us because we don't have air conditioning. He decided he's going to mess with the sound system. But that's okay, because we'll continue on. I got a big mouth. So therefore, even if the sound system goes out, we won't have a recording. But you know what? That's all right, too. He told me, he said, your knee is hurting. Don't even bother to stand up and walk around. But I'm going to tell y'all what, I'm going to take my shoes off and I'm going to get comfortable and I'm going to go ahead and walk around. Is that all right? See, he is not going to stop me. Whoop, too loud. There we go. You see, he's not going to stop me. He's not allowed to stop me because God said, and it shall be.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Okay, now I'm a little too loud. There we go, right there. Okay, so listen, here we are, another Sunday, ready to worship God. You know, again, we had such a wonderful time last week with the Holy Spirit just led this house. God is so good. But I got to talk to you for a moment. You see, many of us have gotten into the habit of, when our phone rings, the first thing we do, we look at that caller ID before we answer. And if it's somebody we feel like talking to, we'll answer. And if it's a number we don't know, or if it's an 800 number, we hit that ignore button. Y'all know that ignore button, right? That one that says, I don't accept the call. We all do it. But you see, we've gotten in such a habit of it, and here's the problem is that we don't only do it with our phones, we do it with our minds. When we don't want to hear what somebody's saying, we hit the ignore button. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't look like y'all don't. Y'all know, even from your childhood, when you didn't want to hear what your parents were saying, what did you do? Ignore. You would hear wah, 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 no matter what they were saying, you heard wah, 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 wah. The problem is that we've gotten so used to doing that and hitting the ignore button that when God calls us, we're too quick to hit that ignore button. We in trouble. God calling, and you're going to hit the ignore button. Here's something that has been said, John, in John 10, 26 and 27. It says, Jesus states these words. It says, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. And as I said to you, my sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They know my voice, and they follow me. Today, our title is just simply, How Will You Respond? Our verse for today is taken from 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. I hear some Bibles turning, so I'll wait. I'd like to hear the sound of Bibles turning. Hint, hint. All right, I know y'all got your electronics out. 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verse 10. And it reads this, Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Speak, so your servant hears. So let me ask you a question. How will you respond when you're called? As we begin our journey through the text, I want to first have to take note that this is not the first time that the boy known as Samuel is referred to minister to the Lord. You see, if we look at 1 Samuel, the second chapter, verse 11, and 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, it says that he ministered. Then Echani went to his house at Ramah, and the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Verse 18 says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. You see, just as Aaron and his sons did at their consecration as priests. Take note, when you get home, you can look at Exodus 29 and 1. And just as Paul and Barnabas did before they were sent out as missionaries. You find that in Acts 13, 1 and 2. Some people might ask, why do I give you the scriptures? So that you can go home and read it and make sure I'm on track. I have no problem with you double checking my facts. It should be noted that the only word of the Lord we read in the first two chapters of 1 Samuel is the word of judgment brought by the man of God against Eli, and he didn't speak often, and when he did, it was a word of judgment. The Lord was bringing down his communications because people weren't listening. They were hitting that ignore button. You see, the word of the Lord was rare in those days because of the hardness of the heart among the people of Israel and the corruption of the priesthood. Yeah, I said the corruption of the priesthood. God will speak and guide when his people seek him and when his ministers seek to serve him diligently. When his ministers seek to serve him diligently. That means when the phone rings at 2 a.m. in the morning, you get up and answer it. When you get home and you know the Raider game is on and you want to put your kick your shoes off, get in that recliner and watch the Raider game and the phone rings, you get up and go. You see, the one thing that we forget to do is thank the wives of ministers or the husbands of ministers for allowing that to happen, knowing that any moment their loved one will up and go because the phone rang. You see, the question is, how will you answer? Oh, it's happened many a times. You see, and depending on the situation, sometimes I grab my wife and she's going right along with me. God has wired us that way. But as we get back into our story, we need to stop and think for a moment and revisit how Samuel came to be with Eli. You see, my Bible scholars, you'll know that Samuel was not Eli's biological father. He was just his guardian. And you say, well, how did that happen? Well, Samuel's biological father was a man by the name of Echani, and he had two wives. Y'all got quiet, but yes, I said he had two wives. And one of his wives' name was Hannah, which is the mother of Samuel. And the other name was Peninnah. Now, my Bible scholars know that back in those times that women that were barren were not well thought of. And Hannah happened to be barren at the time. Now, I'm just going to walk through the story for a moment, but you see, Peninnah would take every opportunity she could to agonize Hannah. Every chance she got, she would just rub it in her face. You see, and now Eckani knew the pain which Hannah was going through, and because of his other wife. So when they went to their yearly worship and their offering to the Lord, Eckani would give Hannah a double portion to offer because he loved her so much. You see, and this went on year after year after year. Peninnah would provoke Hannah. And in short, the other wife was a living nightmare. Oh, y'all been there. Y'all know folks who've been living nightmares to y'all. You see, this torment caused Hannah to weep and not eat. And one night after dinner, Hannah went out and began to pray. And she began to pray. Hallelujah. And if we look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, it tells us she said these words. It says, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And when she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on affections of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Verse 12 goes on and says, and it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. You see, he could not hear what she was saying. Now, Hannah spoke in her heart, and only her lips moved. Y'all ever pray like that? Your lips is moving, but there's no sound coming out? Hallelujah. God still hears you. But her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. Now, I'm just walking through the story. But Hannah responded that she was not drunk, but pouring out her soul before the Lord. So Eli, the priest, told her, go in peace. You see, sometimes we got to pour out our souls to the Lord. In our troubling times, we've got to call upon his name. Sometimes things just hit you so hard and so rapid, all you can say is, Jesus! You can't say anything more but, Jesus! And you know what? That's all you need to say. You call on the most powerful name there is. Yes. Jesus. Scripture says that, as we look at verse 19 and 20, it says, after Eckani returned home with all his family, the scripture tells us that Eckani went in and knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now, we got to jump a couple years into the future. You know, a little time travel here. It was several years before Hannah again traveled to worship and offer her sacrifice before the Lord. And there she ran into Eli. And these are the words she spoke. Verse 26 through 28, it says, and she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For the child I prayed, and the Lord has granted my petition, and I ask of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. As we continue to walk and we look at verse 11, back at chapter 2, tells us that Eckani and his family return home after the worship and sacrifice without Samuel. They left Samuel with Eli. And that's how Eli became the guardian of Samuel. See, it's good to know the history. Now let's look back at chapter 3 and look at verse 2 through 4, where it's written, and it came to pass at the time when Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, and the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. Got to stop right there to tell you that Eli was weak in body and spirit. You see, you got to go back and read chapter 2 to find out that his sons, talk about corrupt. They were so corrupt that you couldn't even get into the temple without paying them something. Oh, it was. But Eli didn't have the strength or the will to correct his own children. Some of us today have that same problem. He was a very ineffective leader of Israel. In Exodus 27 and verse 21, we find the responsibility of the priest is to tend the lamps until sunrise or just before dawn. You see, those lamps weren't supposed to go out during the night. But somehow, Eli's children, the priests, let them go out. Scripture tells us that Samuel responded to God by saying, here I am. This leads us to believe that God spoke to Samuel in an audible voice instead of an inner voice. Though this is not certain, but Samuel was so impressed by what he heard, he responded by saying, here I am. This is a beautiful way to respond to God's word. It isn't that God doesn't know where we are, but it tells God that it reminds us that we are simply before him as servants. When he calls our name, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Yes, sir. Samuel was among several others who also said, here I am, when the Lord called. Just to remind you of some, it was Abraham. There was Jacob. There was Moses. There was Isaiah. Ananias all responded this way. Here I am, Lord. Let me ask you, how will you respond? Will you say, here I am, Lord? We find that in his youthfulness, Samuel really doesn't recognize the voice of God. So as we continue to read, he ran into Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went and lied down. Then the Lord called again, Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now, Samuel, the scripture says right here, it says, now Samuel didn't know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. In verse 8, it says, and the Lord called Samuel again a third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Sir, I'm not being rude, but you really did call me. I'm not crazy. I know you called me. But see, it was the one who knew God who said, that's the Lord calling you. How many here know the Lord? How many of you know the voice of the Lord? How many of you can tell somebody else, just go lie down. That's nothing but the Lord calling you. You need to answer. You need to answer. You need to pick up the phone and say, here I am, Lord. See, one important thing here is that God never gives up. You hear that? God never gives up. When he wants you, it may take 17 years, but he's going to get you. When he's got a plan for you, it may take a lifetime, but he's going to get you. We always hear stories about mamas and grandmamas praying for their children, and sometimes it takes 20, 30 years. Women praying for their husbands, 20, 30 years. But when God is ready, he's going to get you. He's going to get you. So just answer, here I am, Lord. Look at this. It says, yet the Lord called him again. When speaking to us, God almost always confirms his word again and again. He's not just going to tell you, go down the street and get a chocolate cake and bring it back to the pastor once. He's going to tell you several times. He's going to confirm that that's him talking. Y'all got quiet on that. The wife says, don't feed the bear. You see, Samuel was a godly and obedient boy, serving God wonderfully, yet he had not given his heart to the Lord. Even children raised up in godly homes must be converted by the Spirit of God. You see, Eli gave Samuel some wise counsel. Eli told Samuel, make yourself available to God to speak. You said, that ain't written in there. Well, it is. It said, go lie down. Second thing he told him was, don't be presumptuous about God speaking. You notice he said, if he calls you. And then he tells him to respond to the word of God. Speak, Lord. Humble yourself before God and his word. Your servant hears. Do you know a servant is the lowest of a low people? Humble yourself before the Lord. He's all powerful. We're nothing. But the great part about that is, he loves us just the same. He loved us so much that he allowed his son to come down, take on human form, not as a king of kings, but as a servant. So I'm in good company when I say I'm a servant. You see, Samuel finished his statement with these words. He says, speak, Lord. We must hear from God. You see, the preacher may speak, our parents may speak, our friends may speak, our teachers may speak, those on the radio or television may speak, and you know what, that's all fine, but their voices mean nothing for eternity unless God speaks through them. If God ain't speaking through them, then you need to be one of those that go ignore. But you know when God is using them. So as we close, we find Samuel is obedient and does just as Eli instructions. The word says that now the Lord called Samuel as before. And he says, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered and said, speak, for your servant hears. It seems to have been, again, an audible voice because it says the Lord stood. It may be that this was a unique appearance of the Lord. Perhaps the person of Jesus stood before as in Bethlehem. But this was not a dream or a state of altered consciousness. There was no altered consciousness. Samuel heard the voice of God. Absolutely. We got to finish this by telling you what the message God was trying to give Samuel, right? The message was simple: the coming judgment of Eli and his house. So my question to you is simple. How will you respond? Will you ignore his call, or will you call, or will you make yourself available to him? Will you try to ignore God's call just as Adam did in his disobedience? You see, he tried to hide. I did say he tried to hide, but the Lord sees us in our hiding places, so you might as well just respond. You see, will you answer the call of the Lord, or will you be like Jonah and try to ignore God's calling on your life by hiding among others, causing them to suffer because of your failure to answer the call? You see, when we don't answer our call, others suffer. So you might as well just pick up the phone and say, here I am, Lord, speak. You see, but we also have the option of answering the call of the Lord just as Adam did, as Jacob did, as Moses did, as Isaiah did, as Ananias did, and of course as Samuel did. They all responded, here I am, Lord. So I want to go back to my opening statement and repeat it just one more time. It's from John 10 and 27, where Jesus states these words, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I want to close this today with just these words. Choose you this day whom you will serve, and respond, here I am, Lord. Amen and amen. Here I am, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the reminder that you do call us, Lord God, that you have an assignment for each and every one of us, Lord God. But it's up to us to answer the call. Lord, help us to remember not to hit that ignore button when you call us, Lord God, but to respond, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Use me as you see fit.